it was a discouraging day in many respects, Lauren. I mean, I'm glad the government is reopened, at least temporarily, most of it. But I think because a few Senate Democrats peeled off and cut a deal that I think is a pretty lousy deal, they didn't get really anything. We lost some leverage in this healthcare debate that we have, I think, been doing a very good job of putting into the national conversation. And so we're not going to stop fighting for the ACA subsidies and other parts of the healthcare crisis that have to be addressed. But I think a moment of leverage may have been lost because of what these Senate Democrats did.
The stopgap funding bill keeps most agencies running through the end of January. But again, it leaves out the ACA tax credits. With the Senate promising a separate vote by mid-December, how will those Democrats be able to hold Republicans accountable to that vote and that discussion?
Well, that's going to be up to these Senate Democrats who think they got a meaningful promise from these guys. I think they got very little, and I'll be shocked if that vote, you know, advances a bill over to the House. But if they can pull that off, and I'm rooting for them, we will still have to fight to get Mike Johnson to give it a vote in the House, because he has been, you know, very, very cagey about that. And so it's just one of several reasons why I think it was a lousy deal that they cut. The other thing, Lauren, you may have heard, there's this very corrupt, outrageous midnight rider they put in there to make 8 Republican senators overnight millionaires, because a grand jury looked through their phone records.
And that's related to January 6th. Can you speak a little more about that provision?
Yeah. So, look, there was a grand jury that was convened to look at a whole bunch of crimes relating to January 6th. In the course of that confidential grand jury proceeding, they issued subpoenas for the phone records of 8 Republican senators, not wiretaps, but just to see who they were calling in those critical days, because some of these guys were up to their neck in the fake elector scam, and Lindsey Graham was shaking down state election officials. So, you know, to me, it's pretty valid that a grand jury would want to look into that. But, you know, these guys are, you know, treating it like it's a political Pearl Harbor, like it's just outrageous, and they want the taxpayers to give them each $1 million. And that's what they put into that bill, that each of them would automatically get $500,000 for the subpoena that the grand jury issued and another $500,000 for the judge's protective order, making it all confidential so that they wouldn't know in real time. And it's just sort of this situation, Lauren, will, you know, most of us are old enough to remember that if a senator snuck a rider into a bill at any other time in our history, to put money in the pocket of like a donor or a company in their district, it would be a scandal, maybe even a career-ending scandal. But things are so bad right now that they're just putting the money right into their own pocket.
Even with that provision, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer stated that this is a victory for Democrats, saying that Republicans will now have to own the problem of rising health insurance premiums. Do you agree with Schumer's assessment?
No, not entirely. Look, the victory for Democrats is that House Democrats stayed very unified, and that the overwhelming number of House and Senate Democrats did a great job fighting for health care. And we elevated the issue and we created a lot of political pressure. That I think we can feel very good about. But the way these 8 Democrats caved, no, I'm not happy with that. I'm not interested in spinning it into some happy talk.
And speaking of political pressure, there has been a seemingly explosive new development with additional emails being released by the House Oversight Committee, Adelita Grijalva being sworn in, which is given the bipartisan Epstein Files Transparency Act enough signatures. Can you talk about these developments, how members of Congress are reacting, and what the implications are for the country?
Yeah. Look, this is the scandal that Donald Trump cannot make go away. And it may be that the limits of his Teflon have been reached, because I think everyone who knows anything about this cover-up just has to believe. I mean, all of the evidence points to Donald Trump having some level of culpability and guilt in this sex trafficking scheme. Now, we don't know how deep into it he was, like with any of the victims, but all indications are that he knew or should have known about this in a big way. It seems rather obvious. And if you have nothing to hide, you don't do the stuff Donald Trump is doing to try to cover this up.
Is this something that Donald Trump could just dismiss as fake news or a, quote, Democratic hoax? Or could this really be the scandal that gets the bipartisan support for a future impeachment?
I don't know about impeachment, but I think the main thing is let's get bipartisan support for transparency for now. And we seem to have that. So I'm pleased. I think that really speaks to how powerfully this story resonates across political lines. I mean, this was just such a tragic scandal, and so deplorable in every way, and the fact that so many powerful people were in the thick of it. This is something, finally we found something, right, that an awful lot of Democrats and Republicans in our polarized country can agree on. Let's get to the bottom of this and let there be justice for whoever is involved.
And finally, Congressman Huffman, there's so much happening, but I'd be remiss not to mention that Proposition 50 just passed. And in closing, I'm hoping you can touch on what this means for District 2 and how you're planning on bringing representation to some of these areas that have historically had conservative leadership.
Yeah, thanks, Lawrence. So, look, I think it was a great election night. And yet I also know that I am taking on some deep red areas of the state that voted against Prop 50, that, you know, have voted with Donald Trump. And so I'm going to have to introduce myself to them and try to identify some things I can do to make life better in those parts of the state. That's what I'm going to begin to do. The conversations have begun. But, you know, when you do this, you got to approach it with a degree of humility. I am not going to just parachute into these areas and act like I already know everything or know what's best for them. I'm going to try to do some listening, but I'm eager to get started, and those conversations have begun.
Thank you again, Congressman Jared Huffman.
No, thanks, Lauren.